place that I've taken the text from today, and it's actually a quote from Psalm 68, verse 18, and Paul takes this little quote and he applies it to Jesus being the ascended Lord, and he's now conquered all the enemies, and when they used to conquer enemies, they'd give out all the booty and the gifts and so on. Well, they're having brought all of that to the king. Here he is, the king of the creation, and he gives gifts from his place of ascended lordship. And so this is what Paul says about that matter of his ministry to us now. When he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. And then he goes on to say that some of the gifts were apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and they were the sort of teaching gifts, bringing the message of Christ, but it was to the whole people of God. And in other places, Paul lists all the gifts and abilities that have been given to the church so that we all work together, and the image there is like we're all knit together, built up into one body. And the passage says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, and that oneness is what he's talking about. But these particular gifts have been given to teach the church, the freedom, if you like, that we have, and that's kind of where I wanted to centre the message today, was that he made captivity captive. A number of years ago, I was on the farm and was wondering how I could ever tell anyone else about Christ if I was just here milking the cows morning and night and then had to feed hay, do the calves, and I had a little window in the middle where I had to do some fencing and other things. I thought, I only see the milk tanker some days. How am I going to ever tell anyone else about Christ? So my prayer was, you know, for an opportunity to do that, and well, it probably came numbers of years later, and there was a call into the ministry to be able to go out more widely. And so the Lord opened a door, and that freedom came. But meanwhile, even while I was there, there was still freedom down at the football club, down in the street, as I met people in the everyday life to talk about Christ. So captivity, I wasn't really kind of captured on the farm, but that's something that sort of example is what we feel sometimes. We're stuck, we're captive, and we can't exercise the gift or ministry that we'd like to. Well, this verse really tells us the opposite, and one of the keys to it is the author himself, Paul, is writing, and this whole passage in chapter 4, you might miss it because you're just getting ready for the reading and Jonathan's already started, but it begins like this. As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. So Paul is writing, and he spent a fair bit of his time in prison. What a thing to do for an apostle who's got to take a message to the world and is locked up in prison. But he understands that Christ is sovereign and he can be freed from prison. So while he's there, he makes the most of it and writes this most magnificent, perhaps the most magnificent letter ever written about Christ's ministry from a place of confinement. During the week, I was asked to pray for, and we could pray for a man. His first name is Ken. He's a doctor in Burkina Faso Medical Centre. He went there to work with very poor people. He's a great doctor. He's helped so many people. But the terrorists, I think it was Boko Haram, the terrorists came and took him away, captured him from the community, and he's been 4 years captured and not returned to his people. So he's in captivity, but the message is that he is trusting God where he is. Could you please pray for his release so he can go back and do some more doctoring? And he's in his 80s. So, you know, many people have this sense of the greatness of Christ, his love, and he went with his wife to tell of the love of God, but he is imprisoned and is captive for the sake of Christ. And we understand that he's actually teaching medicine to his captors and healing their diseases and blessing them. So that's what happens. The ministry keeps going. The love keeps flowing from a Christian person. A number of years ago, I heard the story of a prisoner of war who realised they were trapped and they had their captors and they were feeling pretty glum about it until they saw a little bird in a cage. You know how you keep a budgie? And the little bird was singing. I think it was a canary. The little bird was swinging there, singing away, like Tweety Pie or something like that. And, you know, just as free as a bird can be in a cage, but it had learned to be happy in its confinement. Probably would have liked to, may not have survived it out in the open. But anyway, that little picture gave to that prisoner of war, they just noticed something and remembered that if that little bird can be free, well, I can learn to be free in my captivity, as horrendous and horrible as it is. You may feel that you're a captive somehow or another. And the word to you this morning is Christ has taken your captivity captive. Okay, you have, you know, certain things in your life that limit what you can do. You may have some, you know, difficult disease or a physical disability of some sort that always troubles you and you can't seem to fix it. Jesus has set you free. He is the God who heals, and you may yet know healing and freedom from that. He is the God who forgives your sins. You can know that he's not condemning you. He's not punishing you. He's not against you. God is for you in Jesus Christ, and he's for you to bring you freedom. As Paul says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. And we should learn how rightly, you know, to live in that freedom and use the great freedom he's given. All of the limitations of, and in particular this passage, it really speaks about the powers. Paul speaks a bit later about the powers. There are a lot of powers of darkness that are at work in the world where we don't see them. They're unseen powers. Sometimes they're linked, or most often linked, they are linked with political movements and power. And there's a darkness. And it's a darkness that sometimes we feel overwhelmed by. But that darkness isn't imprisoning to a Christian. You can find a way through it. Could find a way through it, and even you can do that if it's a government or if it's your work or any other way, because Christ has taken captivity captive and he's given gifts, the gifts of preaching and teaching, the apostles, the good news. The apostles brought this teaching and it was to strengthen and build up the church. So we always had the perspective of the ascended Lord. If Christ burst through the grave and that hasn't confined him, and he is on your side, then you are free. Can you follow that? So life and death, all the things that seem to work against your life, no, Christ has come and has ascended. And those powers, he is Lord over every last one of them. That's why when there were demons troubling people's lives, he said, out. That's why he said, when you, are a Christian, you can go amongst, you know, deadly things. There were, you know, for them, the snake they could pick up and poison and so on. And it's in the midst of the deadly things of life that surround us, that lead to death, that we can find life. I just shortcutting my message today for the sake of time and for you. There's one little saying I wanted to implant to help you to remember this. Someone once said to me, and I took it as applying to preaching. Unlike Nikki, I'm not a painter at all, so I've tried a few paintings and, you know, I'm okay on stick figures, but after that, not so good. But in relation to, you know, to speaking, the matter was put in terms of a painter, and it is paint on a broad canvas. Get a big, broad, large canvas and never admit confinement. Just simply that. Paint on a broad canvas and never admit confinement. It is the case that Christ has given gifts to you, given gifts to the church, and he's given us freedom to explore all the resources that he's given to us. He's given us a clear conscience to be in life and to move forward and find it. So we paint on a broad canvas and never admit confinement. As we close today, just go in freedom. This plan that Paul set out in Ephesians wants us to come to maturity, to be part of God's plan. All of this is given so that the church will have that lovely disposition, that as the church together as a lump, if you like, a dynamic lump, but as a lump we might have a ministry to the world. And the whole passage finishes by saying kind of put off now these old things that ruin your freedom and put on the new nature, which is after Christ's nature. And I love the last finishing line of the chapter. It just says, well, we'll take the last two. Get rid of all bitterness. Gone. Okay? It got any bitterness? No. It's gone. Get rid of it by faith, so it's gone. Rage and anger? Gone. Brawling and slander? None in the coffee room afterwards. We're done with that. Along with every form of malice, you know, that nasty stuff. Get rid of it. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. So I hear often people, I wish the world could just be kind to one another. Well, they can, but it'll take all the power of Christ in you, subduing the other elements and putting on his new nature. May God add his blessing to the word today. And as we share in this fellowship, may we do so knowing our captivity is taken. Let's pray. Dear Lord, today you speak to us. We all, in some way or another, feel the difficulties that face us. And yet, Lord, we also hear of the freedom that you have won over the world, the flesh, the devil, and all the dark powers that surround us. Lord, we know that your freedom will endure forever, that you're the everlasting God, and that as we wait upon you, we will find strength like the eagle as it lifts up its wings to the power beneath. Lord, strengthen us as we go. Give us compassion and love for those who are sad, and a happy disposition to share the love of Christ with the world. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.